hurts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Please tell me, what are we discussing this week?
Well, I said last week that our talk of abandonment this week will, I think, leave listeners pining for the past. And I was referring to the now abandoned Pineland Forest Nursery along the Trans-Canada Highway near Haddishville in southeastern Manitoba.
I think they will be pining along with us. Now, what is a forest nursery?
It's a facility where they grow trees from seed into small seedlings to be used in tree planting programs. And the forest nursery near Haddishville was one of the largest and finest in Canada, occupying a site along the Whitemouth River that was used as a source of water for the young trees.
What's the history of the nursery?
When the Manitoba government assumed jurisdiction for natural resources in 1930, it began to plant trees in what were called provincial forest reserves. They were all over the province, but they used seedlings from four nurseries that were located at Birch River, at Carberry, Marchand, and at Shiloh. In 1953, though, most of those nurseries were closed when the government opened a bigger nursery, the one at Pineland.
And what kind of trees did they grow at Pineland?
The focus of the nursery was primarily on coniferous trees. They grew such species as jack pine, red pine, Scots pine, white spruce, and black spruce. Seeds for these trees were extracted from cones collected in the wild. They were kept in cold storage for up to 10 years, and then they were grown out of doors or, starting in 1970, in greenhouses. The trees were maintained until they were 2 or 3 years old, sufficiently large that they were ready to be transplanted. By 2000, all of the trees at Pineland were grown in greenhouses. None were actually grown outdoors.
And where were the trees planted?
Trees from Pineland went to industrial forestry sites around Manitoba, as well as in Ontario, Saskatchewan, and Minnesota. In addition, Pineland supplied seedlings to other entities involved in tree planting, such as other provincial government agencies, cottage associations, woodlot owners, Christmas tree growers, retail landscapers, utility companies, mining companies, soil conservation authorities, well, in fact, the general public. And they were superior trees because the seeds were collected from only the best mature trees. The seeds were grown under optimal greenhouse conditions, and the seedlings were managed so they were sufficiently hardy to survive and thrive when they were transplanted back into the outdoors.
I'm trying to imagine what this all looked like, and it's making me think now, how many trees are we talking about here?
Well, over the course of its 65 years in operation, it is estimated that Pineland produced 600 million trees.
Wow.
Through the 1980s, total annual production of seedlings was about 7 or 8 million. By 1995, when the nursery went through a major administrative change, about 13 million seedlings were produced each year.
And what happened in 1995?
Well, for its first 42 years, Pineland was a facility of the provincial government, meaning that its cost of operation was borne by the government, and any profits from tree sales went into provincial coffers. By the early 1990s, though, the government was looking to cut back on its costs, so it converted Pineland into what's called a Special Operating Agency, or SOA. It's something like a crown corporation. A Special Operating Agency is partially independent of government, which gives it the ability to compete on the open market and potentially sell trees to customers who would not necessarily buy from a government-run nursery. Or at least that was the idea.
Oh, sounds like it didn't work out.
Well, at first things seemed to be going well. The nursery made a tidy profit in its first couple of years as an SOA. It found new customers in the United States and in tree-rich Alberta and British Columbia. But several factors caused Pineland to start losing money. One factor was that it had a major competitor in British Columbia, a privatized former government tree nursery that was much larger than Pineland and could therefore produce trees at a lower cost. Essentially, it was the Walmart of trees. An ongoing dispute between Canada and the United States over softwood lumber that caused the forest industry to decline here in Canada led to reduced seedling demand for reforestation. And of course, people were consuming less paper as they switched to online sources of news rather than printed newspapers. We've talked about this trend in previous episodes of Abandoned Manitoba, and it has doomed many a newspaper around the province, as well as the huge paper-making plant at Pine Falls. Now, and there are real parallels between the Pine Falls paper mill and the Pineland Tree Nursery.
How so?
Well, like Pine Falls, which had just built a state-of-the-art paper plant that was demolished just a few years later, Pineland was embracing new technology in its final decade of operations. It built a new high-tech greenhouse heated by an innovative power plant that burned wood chips that would otherwise go to waste. Pineland was considered one of the finest greenhouse facilities in Western Canada, and it was visited by growers from around the world who wanted to see its cutting-edge technology. Heck, even King Charles's Royal Forester toured Pineland. Unfortunately, the adoption of new technology caused Pineland to run a financial deficit over several years in a row. In 2018, the government closed Pineland, and in the result, threw over 100 people out of work and deprived the local economy of about $1.5 million each year. Now, some of Pineland's tree-growing competitors were interested in buying the entire facility and reopening it, but instead, the government sold the buildings to a cannabis-growing operation for what I consider to be a paltry $1.4 million. Despite advice from tree-growing experts that the greenhouses at Pineland were just not suited to growing marijuana.
And why not?
Well, the greenhouses at Pineland had openable roofs, so the little trees could be exposed to outdoor conditions. The whole idea was to make them hardy for transplantation. That's, in fact, one of the reasons why Pineland's trees were just so superior. But these open roofs would expose the cannabis that was never intended to be transplanted to local weeds and pests. And of course, open greenhouses, especially ones right next to the busy Trans-Canada Highway, well, let's just say it might be seen as an open invitation to those who wanted to help themselves to the merchandise.
Okay.
I'm told that the cannabis company has now defaulted on its lease payments on the Crown land where the building sat. And the buildings themselves are abandoned. The electricity and natural gas supplies have been disconnected. Over the past 5 years, my sources tell me the facility has been badly vandalized. A few weeks ago, I flew my drone over Pineland and I saw its modern greenhouses in tatters. It looked post-apocalyptic.
Meanwhile, where do Manitobans get trees today, like if they're not being grown at Pineland?
Well, the government's stockpile of pine and spruce seeds, the things that would have led to new seedlings being grown here, were shipped to British Columbia and Washington State, where they are germinated and then shipped back to us as seedlings. But, you know, this means they may come back with insect and fungal pathogens that are not found in Manitoba. You know, it's clearly not ideal for us to be importing young trees from far away. And, you know, I say that as a professional botanist, you know, and especially when there is an excellent high-tech facility that could grow them right here in Manitoba. You know, I have to say, this is one of the saddest abandoned stories I have ever covered in this series. And it literally makes me pine for the past, you know, when Manitoba was a world leader in growing trees.
Me too. Yeah, it's really, really sad. And I loved how in this story, both your loves kind of came combined, unfortunately, in a sad abandoned story. But I'm curious if you can give us a hint about next week's episode.
Anyone who has driven on Winnipeg's Main Street in the vicinity of Higgins Avenue is undoubtedly familiar with the subway, where the road goes under some railway tracks. Well, next week, we're going to look at a different kind of subway that we find at two other places in Manitoba.
Very much looking forward to that, Gordon. Looking forward to hearing about it soon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.